Good afternoon, this is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the Banca Generali Full Year 2025 Results Conference Call. As a reminder, all participants are in listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. Should anyone need assistance during the conference call, they may signal an operator by pressing star and zero on their telephone. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Gian Maria Mossa, CEO and General Manager of Banca Generali. Please go ahead, sir.
Good afternoon, and thank you for attending our full year results conference call. Before we get into our results, I want to quickly comment the market reaction to the recent announcement of a U.S. initiative called Altruist. This basically is a tool, an artificial intelligence tool for the automated tax planning. That in Italy is largely relevant just because now for any investment-related taxation, the tax situation is handled directly by the withholding agent, so basically the banks or the financial intermediary, and not by the client. So, the volatility on our stock today comes from this U.S.-centric situation that simply doesn't fit with the Italian wealth management context, and even less with Banca Generali, also because we are not a brokerage platform. So as you know, and we said it several times, Italy has a unique economic and social environment, where the wealth is still mostly invested in liquid assets, think of real estate or private companies, not listed equity. And it remains a very much a sort of, say, family affair. So in this context, our clients look for discretion, human guidance, and not automatic answer or interaction with the machine. It's never happened. So the confidentiality, privacy are crucial, are not negotiable in the long-lasting relationship with our financial advisors. So for this reason, the idea that an AI tool could, let's say, commoditize advisory in Italy, just doesn't make any sense. If you think of Banca Generali business, it's built on trust, personal relationship, long-lasting relationship between a senior professional and our client, and several capabilities and expertise. So when we help our client, basically, we must understand both their head, but also their stomach, and nobody wants that very personal information can be stored inside a machine. In Banca Generali, I think that AI is a great accelerator. It's not a replacement of business. That may, I repeat, doesn't make any sense. AI will help our bankers work better and faster, while, of course, the human judgment, the discretion, closeness to the client will be mainly of our financial advisors. That's the reason why we don't see any strategic risk in today's news. And again, AI will be disruptive and in positive sense. So dealing with clients is another business, especially if it is about ultra-net-worth individual with very significant wealth and invested, as I said, also in illiquid assets. And again, illiquid assets means not only private market, but it means real estate and in their own company, almost the time, not listed one. And again, family is a different concept, something very confident, need trust, so nothing that you can solve out with technology. So having said that, let's start, as usual, with the major achievements for last year. So page three, let's say that we achieved new record high in terms of net profits, recurring net profits, and total assets. Commercial activity was very solid, with an acceleration in the last part of the year with the conclusion of the M&A headwinds. And thanks to solid commercial and financial results and the capital light approach, we will propose an increase in the dividend per share at the next in the next AGM. Now, page four, net profit. Net profit closed, as we said, at a record high, 445.8 million euro, driven by recurring net profit, about 360 million euro, a lower contribution of variable net profit, basically for lower performance fee, and then a one-off in terms of tax refund for a total amount of 39 million euro. The reason behind the solid result in recurring fees is driven basically by the solid net financial income and solid gross recurring fees. Starting from net financial income, page 5, we close the year to 355.5 million euro, of which greatest part comes from the net interest income. As you can see, the last quarter closed at 82 million euro, thanks to asset expansion and a pretty stable net interest margin yield at 1.95, that is in line with our guidance to stay above 1.9. Next page, so page 6, total gross fees. We closed the year at 1,131,000,000. If we focus on the fourth quarter of last year, you see that the growth compared to the same period of the previous year is at almost 11%, while the variable fees contribution was lower than the previous year, with a positive contribution in the fourth quarter, 43 million, and almost all the assets at or close to the high watermark level. Next page, we will deep dive on the gross recurring fees, starting from the investment fees. Investment fees close at 976 million, basically driven by asset expansion and stable margin. Fourth quarter number, 255 million euro, with an increasing contribution of both management fees and advisory fees. The overall management fees margin is stable at 1.41. Next page, other fees. Here you see an acceleration from 130 to 154, almost 55. Basically thanks to the inclusion of Intermonte business and solid traditional business. Starting from banking fees, here we have the completion of the phase-in of the new pricing, so a lower contribution from the traditional business and an increasing contribution from Intermonte. Focusing on brokerage commission, overall result 75 million euro. Fourth quarter, almost 20 million euro, very solid brokerage activity of our clients, plus Intermonte contribution. Last, entry fees. You know, we started the first half of last year with lower numbers. In the second half, we saw an acceleration. Part of this acceleration was driven by also the new capabilities thanks to Intermonte. So with greater penetration of structured products. So in the, considering only the fourth quarter, the result was probably the best ever at 16.6 million euro. Moving on page 9, so on the cost side, let's start with the total fee expenses. Overall total fee expenses close at 600 million euro with all the payout ratios at or below our guidance. In particular, the payout to FAs for the ordinary part closed at 34.6%, below the target of 36%. The incentive closed at 11.1%, below the target of 12%, and also the payout to third parties closed below the target of 6%. The fourth quarter ended at 5.8%. As a final result, the overall total payout ratio to the network, excluding the payout on net interest income, closed at 51.5%. That is definitely below our target of 53%. So, again, a great control of the payout and very flexible model linked to the revenues. Next page, operating costs. Operating costs closed at above 360 million euros. This is basically due to some one-off and the change in perimeter. Starting from change in perimeter, you see the inclusion of Intermonte, 38 million euro. The sales personnel costs, so the part linked to the relationship manager, so employee banker, closed slightly lower, just because some bankers decide to move to the financial advisory network with a mandate. So this is positive news. And then in the core non-items, you can see an overall contribution of 13.5 million with an acceleration in fourth quarter. This is basically linked to the cost of Mediobanca tender offers, the setup of two major initiatives, insurbanking Intermonte, plus some projects to optimize the organization of the bank. Overall, bottom of the page, you see core operating costs in the range 6%-8%, closed at 288, almost 5 million euro invested in IT infrastructure modernization, AI and data related projects. So, and as you can see, the fourth quarter looks higher than the other quarters, but is characterized by high seasonality. So if you compare fourth quarter with the same period of the previous year, you see that the increase is around 6%. So also the core operating costs, so excluding investment, is well under control. Page 11, the last page on cost. Operating costs on total assets flat at the minimum level, 0.28. The cost income ratio adjusted for Intermonte, with a slight increase due to this one-off cost. Page 12, to sum up, very proud to have exceeded for the first time in the bank 1 billion in total banking income, cost characterized by one-off. And then if we focus on the total non-operating charges, the overall total non-operating charges decreased to 105 million, thanks to lower regulatory contribution and lower provision. And I'm confident to see lower numbers for this year and for the future. In the P&L, we included at the non-operating level also the 39 million of positive one-off, as already commented, to the tax refund. Overall, tax rate closed close to 24%. This is basically linked to higher contribution of Luxembourg, and we confirm guidance for this year in the range of 26%-27%. So now let's move to the section two, balance sheet and capital ratio. Here, as already said in different conference calls, is an asset business, so asset expansion business. You can see that the overall total deposit increased to 15.8 billion, and with an important contribution in the acceleration in client deposits at 13.8 8 billion. And we say that the asset expansion, so the client deposit expansion, more than offset a small decrease in the net interest margin, as we commented at the beginning. The net interest margin is driven by cost of funding, the yield on non-bearing assets. Cost of funding slightly decreased to 0.77%. And as you can see, page 15, the same can be said for the yield on interest-bearing assets, down to 2.81%. A quick comment to the total assets, 18.5 billion. On the positive side, expansion in the banking book, financial assets to 12.8 billion, and also expansion of the loans to clients above 2.5 billion euro. Page 16, let's move on capital liquidity ratios. Also for last year, we confirmed solid ratios. If we start from total capital ratio, close to 19%. Also, once included several one-off, consider the impact of CRR3, Intermonte first-time consolidation, higher operating risk absorption for change of the model, and so forth. So let's say a very solid total capital ratio, leverage ratio very high, 5.6, and liquidity ratios rising over time at liquidity coverage ratio 337 and a stable funding ratio 245. So overall, very solid liquidity ratio, solid capital liquidity ratio. And the next page 17, we see the dividend proposal. So first of all, we confirm the total payout at 76%. In terms of DPS, it implies a dividend of 2.9 euro per share. And we will pay this 2.9 euro in two tranches. The first one this year for a total amount of 2.2, and the second tranche next year for a total amount of 0.7. So this will allow us to be consistent with our goal to help for a constant increase in absolute terms of dividend. And I take this opportunity also to remind you that we are close to pay the second tranche of the DPS for the results of 2024. And we will pay on the 23rd of February 0.65 euros. Now, let's move to the next section. So the total assets and net inflows. We closed the year above 113 billion euro, two-thirds invested in assets under investment. An important slide is number 20. Page number 20, you can see the strong expansion of financial wrappers and of the overall wrappers. Financial wrappers increased by 1.8 billion euro in just one year. And the overall wrappers account for more than 50% of the managed solutions. And even more important and consistent with our target, the overall in-house funds overtook for the first time the third-party funds. You can see bottom the graph where in-house funds amounted to 13.2 billion or 1.3 billion higher year-on-year, while third-party funds grew slightly at 12.6 billion. This is basically driven by inflows. Page 21, you can see the overall results, 6.8 billion, better mix, 4 billion invested in assets under investment. Focusing on assets under investment, you see an increasing contribution of both components, assets under management and advanced advisory. Concerning assets under management, page 22, you can see that most of the increase is driven by financial wrappers and in-house funds. And we confirm with structural shift from third-party funds to in-house funds, at least in relative terms. Page 23, there is a detail of the net inflows by acquisition channel. Let's say that the existing network contribute at the same level the previous year, despite the tender offer, so very positive reaction of the existing sales force. If we focus on net recruitment, 1.9 billion euro, the underlying is characterized by two different trends. A strong contribution of recruitment of three bankers in Switzerland, Equitum, for an amount of 800 million euro, and a limited contribution of recruitment in Italy, penalized by the uncertainty, so 1.1. Overall, the numbers are close to the numbers of the previous year, so 166, and this is also thanks to an acceleration of the numbers in the fourth quarter after the close, after the termination of the headwinds linked to the M&A issue. Page 24, we have also a quick update of how we started the year. Consider that January is always a volatile month, but let's say that if you compare in absolute terms inflows, better than the previous 2 years, so 0.5 billion. And of course there is a conservative asset allocation, but it is always the same story in January. And the signs from recruitment confirm the positive mood of the last quarter of last year, where it's not only a question of numbers of recruitment, but it's more about the quality. So we expected a significant contribution for recruitment for this year. Now we will give you an update on the two major projects, Intermonte and Insure Banking, and then some guidance and targets for the full year. So let's start from Intermonte, page 26. You already know this page. Basically, we confirm that we will double before the 2030 the net banking income from 40 to 80-90 million euro, and of this increase, 25-30%. Will be already achieved this year. And as you can see, the cost income will decline, so it means that the increase, the synergies will present the same payout cost income ratio as the bank. Why we confirm these numbers, but with an even more positive mood? Because as all the initiatives we are rolling out, are working much better than expected. The first one is about the synergies in terms of structured product internalization of derivatives. And you see at the left of the page, you see the acceleration in the fourth quarter of last year of the structured product. We already mentioned it, and I can confirm that the beginning of the year is higher than the same period as last year. We started also to internalize part of the margin in structuring products, thanks to Intermonte. So Intermonte hedging accounted for 14% percentage point. Let's say that you're going to see an increasing contribution once we going to complete the full integration and optimization of the IT platform, and it should happen in the second half of this year. Managed products. You already launched two dedicated funds, Luxembourg funds. We focus on Italian large cap and small cap. And we already collected more than 100 million euro. And we have just launched a new financial wrapper with the proposition of protection, and where the hedging strategy is covered 100% by Intermonte. Last but not least, probably the most important part of the synergy and the partnership, investment banking, 160 meetings. Finally, the first two mandates signed, other 8-10 close to be signed. This is amazing. is amazing, just because the feedback from Intermonte is amazing, the feedback from the financial advisor is amazing, and the client really appreciate the synergies between private banking and investment banking, starting from the long-lasting relationship of the private banker to develop and to leverage on the capabilities and competencies of Intermonte. And as you can see, the kind of advice is well diversified, is about, of course, M&A, is about equity capital market, debt advisor, and so forth. Page 2A, moving on to issue banking. There is an update of a generally hybrid product. Overall assets close at 7.4 billion euros, so stable year on year, with a higher contribution of in-house funds from 4.1 to 4.5 billion. Overall margin are stable over time at 0.64. Page 29, an update on Alleanza partnership. Of course, we confirm the target. But again, also in this case, the mood is more optimistic. Why? Just because we started. We started piloting the distribution banking products. We selected 100 private advisors at the end of last year. And we tested all the procedure, processes, platform, and we opened up 270 new current accounts. So the machine works very well. There is great enthusiasm, and for this reason, during the convention of Alleanza, the 5th of February, Alleanza announced the starting of the rollout of Conto Unico, so the current account dedicated to Alleanza, to all 2,700 private advisors within this year. Quick comment on Stile Unico. Stile Unico is a unit link, so we are talking about insurance wrappers. We completed the rollout to the 2,700 private advisors last year, and the first numbers are encouraging with more or less 100 million euro of net inflows. So solid evidences from Intermonte and Alleanza, very positive on the short, medium, and long term of this partnership. And now, from page 30, a quick update on targets for this year. First of all, net inflows, so volumes, we increase the guidance compared to the guidance of last year from 6 billion to inflows at least at 6.5 billion with the assumption of stable financial markets. We see confirmation of the structural rebalancing between different distribution channels, and we are very optimistic on recruitment activity. We are also confident to increase the product mix, the quality of these inflows, so we set an initial target of asset under investment from the previous 3.5 to the current 4 billion euro. And this is again with the assumption of stable financial market and starting from the large share of govy bonds and corporate expiring this year, and the perception that the overall asset under investment exposure is reverting to long-term averages. Last page, 3.1, some financial targets. First of all, net interest income. We increase the range of the net interest income for this year in the range of 330-340 million euro, driven basically by asset expansion, so more client deposits and stable yield. We confirm both the management fee margin range and the core operating cost range, waiting for the new 3-year strategic plan that we will communicate and we will announce probably in the second half of this year. Just to close, I'm very optimistic on the bank, on the financial advisory network, and on the results. I perceive as we start a new season, and I see further synergies under the Winged Lion. So Generali is important for us and will be even more important in terms of synergies for the future. And now I will hand over for the Q&A session.
Thank you. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. To remove yourself from the question queue, please press star and two. Please pick up the receiver when asking questions. Anyone who has a question may press star and one at this time. First question is from Luigi Tramontana, Kepler Cheuvreux.
Yes, good afternoon. Many thanks for the presentation. A clarification on the provisions for risk and charges was 49 million that you booked in the fourth quarter. Can you please give us some insight on that? What is due? And the second question is on the inflows. In 2025, you clearly outperformed your guidance with 6.8 billion. I'm a little bit surprised that you expect your net inflows for 26 to be lower than last year, given that we do not expect Mediobanc to launch another offer on you. So this is a joke, but I would like to understand why do you expect the other assets in flow to be lower than last year? Thank you.
Thank you, Luigi. Let's start from the inflows. As you know very well, we prefer to start with a conservative approach and then over deliver. 6.5 billion euro, I mean, is the highest guidance never communicated from the banking perspective, and with a better quality. So we will be more focused on the quality than on the quantity. But as usual, the target has been set to be overachieved. So let's see, some conservative assumption from the beginning of the year, also to see the dynamics and the context. In terms of provision charges, then I will hand over to Marco, but let me give you the flavor of this line. Let's say that in good time, I think that the best thing to do is to be very conservative in the provision, especially for potential litigation or underperformance of specific products. So we decided to clean up the overall position in terms of provision for some illiquid initiatives, and then happy to release in case of different behavior. So there is some problem with behavior behind that, but for more disclosure on that, I will hand over to Marco.
Thank you, Gianmaria. Let's say that in provision we have mainly three categories. Basically, we have the provision for the FA, for the retirement, basically, which is an actuarial provision that is performed every year. And then the other two components are linked more to commercial initiative. We have been very, very conservative this year because also we had the benefit on the other side of the fiscal refund on dividends. So we decided to be very conservative. Although if we compare the overall provision, they are lower compared with the previous year. Going forward, we expect that, of course, this provision will go down because we have been very conservative in 2025.
Very clear. Thank you.
As a reminder, if you wish to register for a question, please press star and one on your telephone. For any further questions, please press star and one on your telephone. Next question is from Marco Nicolai, Jefferies.
Hello. Thanks for taking my question. The first one would be again on the, if you can come back a little bit on the sell-off that we are seeing today. Yeah, I agree with your initial words. Like, it seems unwarranted, especially for a business like Banca Generali, very much skewed towards private and high net worth customers. But can you please repeat, the main reasons why for you this is overdone, especially for Banca Generali? And also, maybe can you spend a few words on what could be the upside of artificial intelligence for your business? And the second question on the costs, I've seen the guidance on the OPEX. You refer to the core OPEX in your guidance. Can you give us an idea of, in general, what do you expect in terms of perhaps other non-recurring items that you could see also next year in the cost base? Thank you.
Thank you, Marco. Let's start by saying that if you look at the initiative, the U.S. initiative, Altruist is basically a tool, an AI tool, to, let's say, to work out tax planning. And as you know, in U.S., it's something that is on the shoulder of the client. So finding a way to offer a cheap solution to a sort of automation of this tax planning, it's significant in the U.S. In Italy, it cannot be applied just because we already take care of this tax planning when it's about the investment-related taxation instead of the client. Let's say that we handle it directly through the withholding at, the withholding agent. So it's the bank, it's the financial intermediary. So this is the first consideration. But let's say that basically what Altruist is proposing in U.S. is not applicable in Italy. Okay? So for a different context. Then you have to consider, in the case of Banca Generali, our business model. We are the most exposed player to the high net worth individual in the range of 1 million, 50 million, more or less. And in that segment of clients, the priority is to manage the overall wealth, bringing it closer to the family needs. So it's about family protection needs, it's about succession planning, it's about, of course, tax efficiency, but it's something different from what we define tax efficiency in the U.S. And basically, the tax efficiency in Italy means leverage some specific vehicles, for example, the insurance one. And when you deal with the total wealth of the client and the needs of the family, now it's all about, of course, with some rational behaviors, but great part of the conversation is driven by the stomach of the client. And they ask for confidentiality. It's almost impossible to store all the information they provide in a machine, just because it's so personal. That is the first question and the first need of the client to be assured about the use of this information. And again, and we start discussing these kind of topics thanks to a long-lasting relationship with client, with the banker. So it's about the human touch, the closeness of the client, the closeness of the banker. So of course we provide an open-ended platform with the best of IT, the best of products, the best of non-financial advisory, and so forth. But the essence of our business is that one client is different from the other one, and is different not for the product or asset allocation, but for the how they build their wealth and how they connected with wealth with their family. So it's a very complicated business, very personalized business, and is basically made up by human touch and physical presence. So I spent most of my week meeting top clients. So it's a different story. If you consider brokerage platforms, I mean, it's about technology, and there can be some threat from technology itself or from innovation. But if the model is based on the competencies, the professionals, and the long-lasting relationship on non-standardized needs, it's much more complicated. So, and I'm, let's say that doesn't make any sense to consider any digital disruption as a threat to this model. So, AI instead can be an accelerator. It can be an accelerator, of course, standard approach for the bank, more efficiency to the bank. And this is a standard for any bank. We are managing a very important process to change the culture. We launched a project with ambassadors across all the functions of the bank, and I'm sure that we are approaching AI in the best way. But the real game changer is for the financial advisors, just because our bank, compared to any other bank, is more complex, more complicated, just because we want to give the possibility to have plenty of services, of products, and of opportunities. So for the financial advisor, it's much more complicated to be updated on all what on everything we provide. So simplifying the operating process to the financial advisor, providing them the next, let's say, offering for the client with the all the information, make the relationship much easier. So it's a way to simplify the selling proposition and to optimize the operating machine for the financial advisors. So in this sense, I think that you can be more efficient in the bank and more productive for the financial advisor. So we should see an expansion of multiple, not a correction of the market. Then the second question is about the non-core cost. Short introduction by myself, and then I hand over to Tommaso. Let's say that Intermonte, I do expect stable cost. Sales personnel, I do expect stable or declining cost, except for any particular recruitment. And one-off cost in terms of, let's say, consultancies or stuff like that, I do not expect an impact as last year. So overall, we should see a reduction of this component.
Yes, I confirm that, of course, core costs exclude sales personnel, if we have change in perimeter, so we will include in 2026 Intermonte in the core cost, and we expect a reduction of the non-core component linked to one-off, because we don't expect to have another tender offer by anyone, I would say, not from the Mediobanca. And of course, also the project of alleanza and integration Intermonte have been approved in major part in 2025, and we don't expect to have the same amount of one-off also the next year. So on average, if you look at the long term, the pure non-core items have been around 4-5 million, and we expect that in 2020, the next year we will have the same amount. So overall, the guidance is applied on non-core costs, but also on the total operating cost. I think it's the same increase that we expect.
Thank you. Can I follow?
Please follow up.
To get a benefit from this AI benefit curve, revenue synergies essentially. So do you need any investments beforehand? Do you foresee any major expense you need to put through before enjoying these revenue synergies? And like, if you think about a time frame, would you think about these benefits coming over the medium term, over the long term? Any colors on these points?
Yes, I do expect a positive impact already next year. So we're going to launch some specific initiatives in the second half of this year, and I'm sure that it will imply a higher productivity. So I'm positive on the contribution starting from next year. In terms of lean processes in the bank, this cultural shift is already happening, so I do expect an overall increase of quality and efficiency in the bank. We have plenty of projects, so we can finance this project with the savings in, ordinary business. The reason why you do not see, we do not expect an acceleration of cost despite insured banking, despite Intermonte, and despite other very important projects, is due to the fact that we consider some savings from the existing business thanks to AI.
Thank you.
And sorry, just to complete the first question, we are considering different partnerships with AI provider. We spent almost 18 months discussing with the major initiative in the AI private banking company, the fully digital platform. So again, I do see opportunities of collaboration, not of competition, considering our business.
Okay, thank you very much.
For any further questions, please press star and one on your telephone. Mr. Mossa, there are no more questions registered at this time.
Okay, thank you so much for participating to our conference call, and happy to answer or support conference call to any further question. Thank you. Bye.